Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The Affordable Care Act, the Supreme Court, the Paris Agreement, those are among the questions of what kinds of changes a Trump administration will bring. And to that, we add a far less critical one, White House decor. Each incoming president is expected to make the executive mansion home. But how far can an incoming president go in putting their mark on the White House, an historic place that many traditionally feel belongs to the American people, not the family that lives there?
I hate to make changes, really. So when you find a room like this, it's wonderful.
That is First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy from a televised tour of the recently renovated White House in 1962. The special was broadcast on all three major networks and gave the public its first view of the $2 million renovation. 80 million Americans watched the program, and it was syndicated throughout the world. First families have a lot of leeway for living quarters on the top two floors of the 132-room executive mansion. And there have been some famous and infamous large-scale changes since the Kennedy makeover, which included the Rose Garden and a swimming pool. President Richard Nixon built a one-lane bowling alley below a driveway. Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter wanted to save money, so they skipped the standard redesign of the earth-toned Oval Office. Instead, Carter installed solar panels, which Ronald Reagan quickly removed. President Obama added a basketball court, and First Lady Michelle Obama put in a garden. We called Edward Langle, chief historian of the White House Historical Association, to find out what is permitted and whether the new president gets a moving allowance, like a lot of people do if they accept a job in another city.
Yes, they get a certain endowment from Congress to cover moving and to cover a certain degree of redecoration.
How much?
It varies from president to president. Mary Todd Lincoln back in the 1860s got, as I recall, $20,000, which she notoriously overspent, and it has gone up, of course, since then with inflation.
So how many rooms need to be furnished when a new president moves in?
Well, they will certainly refurnish the family living rooms. There are several of those. They will refurnish the state and family dining rooms. They will also, to some degree, refurnish the entrance hall as well as other rooms in the house. But the number that they actually work on depends on the inclination of the president and the first lady, as the case may be.
And these furnishings, do they get to keep them? I mean, maybe it sounds silly, but will the Obamas take the curtains or rugs and towels with them?
They can't do that anymore. It used to be in the 19th century, it was much more common for incoming and outgoing presidents either to change things willy-nilly, to even throw things out, or occasionally to take things with them. Sometimes they even sold items of furniture while they were president in order to earn money to buy new furniture. That is no longer possible. The furniture that's in the collection now is protected, as the White House has national landmark status, and the items in the White House, the furniture and the more permanent furnishings are all part of the collection. So they can't simply be carried off.
So I'm thinking about things that I associate with the White House. I've seen this photographs of a Steinway piano, for example, the George Washington portrait painted by Gilbert Stuart. So are these things that stay in the White House? They don't get moved around?
There are certain fixtures, like especially the George Washington portrait, that are pretty much always there and always in the same place, although presidents have occasionally changed the portrait to a different George Washington portrait. For example, since the Kennedy administration, there's been a portrait of Abraham Lincoln over the fireplace in the state dining room. But for the most part, there's so much furniture there already in the White House that the presidents really don't have any room to take in much of their own. The Obamas, for example, left all of their furniture in Chicago when they came in. So they may do things like change the color scheme of individual rooms. For example, the state dining room used to be a very dark-paneled old Victorian decor. Teddy Roosevelt had even put animal heads up on the walls, so like elk and moose and bear. But after Truman came in, he decided he needed to lighten it up, so he changed the color scheme, changed the decorations.
And as to Teddy's trophies, Jackie Kennedy shared another take. Apparently, they were not universally admired.
Theodore Roosevelt hung his stuffed animal heads around the room. There's a story that President Wilson so disliked these stuffed heads that he always seated himself in such a manner that he would not see them while dining.
The Trump administration is sure to bring a lot of changes, among them White House decor. Edward Lengel is chief historian of the White House Historical Association. He's talking about how other first families have put their mark on the executive mansion over the years. Historically, it's often the first lady that plays a great role in designing or redesigning the White House. And Melania Trump has said that she will not move into the White House in January so their son can finish the school year in New York City. So where does the First Lady fall into this redecoration or redesign?
Traditionally, First Ladies have played a major role both inside and outside the White House. And for example, the First Ladies since Edith Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt's wife in 1904, have played a major role in redesigning the White House gardens. Ellen Wilson, Woodrow Wilson's wife, changed that and installed a lily pond. Lady Bird Johnson redesigned the East Garden and named it after Jackie Kennedy, and she, of course, created the Rose Garden in 1962. So they've had a major role there. They have also, for example, when the first family enters the White House, the chief usher of the White House will typically take the family, including the First Lady, all over the building and show them where things are, how they've been designed, where furniture is stored, and we'll work with the First Lady to change color schemes, to change arrangements. So that'll be a big change for a First Lady not to be involved in that, as apparently will be the case.
The Obama family's renovations were praised for their design aesthetic, and they were featured in Architectural Digest. Are there any other first families that really hit it out of the park?
It's been changed profoundly since the very beginning. The Lincolns certainly hit it out of the park. They had encountered a White House that had become profoundly run down over the previous decades, many decades of neglect. Mary Todd Lincoln, as I mentioned earlier, spent a lot of money to refurbish it. She brought in a laminated mahogany bedroom suite, including the Lincoln bed that's still there today. Chester Arthur in 1882 created this big 338-foot Tiffany mosaic screen in the entrance hall, which sadly is lost. It was apparently a beautiful piece of work. But in modern memory, the family that did the most was clearly the Trumans. When Harry Truman came in after FDR died in World War II, there really wasn't much time. He didn't have much time to make any changes. But the White House had become so decayed by that point that the chief usher said it looked like an abandoned hotel, and he gutted the whole building. He and Bess Truman completely redesigned the interior. Much of what we see today in the White House is indeed a creation of the Truman family.
How about decorating missteps? I mean, you mentioned Mary Todd Lincoln spending a lot of money. Did that become an issue?
That was an issue at the time in terms of the amount of money that she spent. It wasn't exactly what I would call a misstep. Certainly, there was such a rage for tacking on things to the White House in the early 20th century that it created a number of structural problems. The Calvin Coolidge administration in the 1920s installed a third floor as well as a solarium. The weight of that created so many structural issues that it caused floors and walls to sag and was one of the reasons the whole thing had to be torn up again just 20 years later.
I'm actually doing a home renovation project myself, so I'm curious any about other home improvements undertaken by first families, you know, real building construction besides Calvin Coolidge.
Well, of course, Teddy Roosevelt created the West Wing. Teddy was such a fascinating president in so many ways, but one of the things that he changed was he shifted the White House from being more purely a working space to a family space. He was so family-oriented. He was notorious for turning the White House into a huge playroom. He would go racing up and down the halls with his children. Part of the reason he had the West Wing built and he expanded the family living areas was so that he could create a more home and family-friendly space. And then his successor, William Howard Taft, installed the Oval Office in 1909. Those are some of the major changes, but some have been controversial. The last exterior change was again by Harry Truman. At the end of his renovation, he created a balcony over the South Portico that was so controversial that he couldn't get a bequest of money from Congress for it, so he used money from the household budget to build it.
Well, we've heard a lot of jokes circulating that Trump is going to gild the ceilings, mirror the walls, you know, make them look like one of his hotels. Any real sense of how he'll make the White House his own?
We've even had suggestions from people that he might want to change the color of the White House to some other color. There's clearly a lot of wonderment about what's going to happen. The White House, as it stands now, has got such a beautiful and amazing collection of historic interior decoration that it would be impossible to plunder that or to replace it profoundly with some other items that are non-historical. I would be shocked if he would attempt to, for example, build a major new addition to the White House. It simply would be very structurally difficult and incredibly expensive.
Well, let's leave the last word to a great tastemaker, Jackie Kennedy, who clearly did not equate the presidency with good taste.
That's the oldest thing in the White House, the only thing that was here since the very beginning. The government set a rather interesting precedent when that picture was painted. They commissioned the finest living artist of the day to paint the president. Then they gave it as a gift to the White House. I often wish they'd followed that, because so many pictures of later presidents are by really inferior artists.
Thanks to Edward Langle, chief historian of the White House Historical Association and author of several books, including First Entrepreneur, How George Washington Built His and the Nation's Prosperity.